Now will you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy unto him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As far as we'll read for now, let us bow our heads as we pray. Father, as we come before you and we're praying and asking that you will bless in this meeting, we also pray, Father, that you will bless in regards to each heart and life that is here. Father, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We pray again that he might be exalted, that your Spirit might again portray him before us in his greatness. We do pray, Father, that if there are those among us that are sick and ailing, that your hand of healing will be upon them. And we pray, though, that you'll strengthen them and encourage. And for others who are making decisions, for others who in life their experiences are rough, whatever it might be, Lord, we pray your blessing, your encouragement. We just pray that you'll move and work among your saints. Again, we pray that as your word goes forth, your Spirit, we'll use it to minister to our heart and to our lives. We pray your blessing as we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Have you been watching the stock market? Any of you been watching? You notice how it's going? It's the way it's going, you know, way up, way down. We're beginning to wonder what's going to happen. You listen to the report, and one expert will say, don't worry. Another will say, it doesn't look good. You know, we just go on and on. A lot of confusion, a lot of things that are perplexing individuals today. Heads of state, we're all following very closely what's happening in Russia. Will democracy win out, or will it fail in Russia? We don't know. We don't know. Our own government, presidency has been weakened. Will the American president fall? We don't know. Moral integrity is at a rapid decline. My, oh my. Personal experiences. But we're not all wealthy, are we? Many are struggling financially. Senior citizens are very concerned. What's happening? Many of God's people are going through marital strife. All kinds of problems. Parents are concerned about children. The scriptures tell us that we're to stop worrying. Just stop worrying. Our health, I don't know what your health is like. I know a little bit about my health. I'm aware that as I grow older, then my health continues to deteriorate a little bit. I can still run a 4-minute mile, but it takes me 22 minutes. But I can still do that. There are sorrows, tragedies, death, and we cry out, Lord, why me? And someone else will say, why not you? That doesn't solve the problem. Genesis 1:1 says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Wow, isn't that wonderful? Amidst all the confusion, our God exists. The Almighty, the Creator, the God of all grace and love. He exists, and He created the heavens and the earth. What does that mean to us? Here's what it means. It means God is in charge. God is in control. What? He's in control? As the God of this world, Satan is working in governments. God's in control? Yes, God's in control. God has a plan. God has a program. That plan and that program will come to pass. You mean God's involved? He knows about the stock market? Yes. God knows about my health? Yes. About tragedy? Yes. He knows? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Let me just say a little bit about health, tragedy, and so on. Many things that we're kind of blaming God for, oftentimes we do that, they are really the result of Adam's sin and the death process and characteristics of families. Much that takes place in our life is not that God is saying, well, on Sunday, on this September, this Sunday, I'm going to have Elthrall have a cold. It doesn't work quite that way. I wonder if we understand. Not quite that way. Some of those things have been determined long before we're born. They just run their natural course in life. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 11, we read this. God worketh all things according to the counsel of His will. God worketh all things according to the counsel of His will. He's in control. Don't despair. God's in control. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 33, I believe it is, 32, we read this. Let's read verse 31. And what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now what that is saying to us is this. If God has done the greater for us, will He not do the lesser? What is the greater? Well, the greater, of course, is that He spared not His Son. The greatest thing that God could do for us, He has accomplished, is that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world that He might bear our sins on the cross at Calvary. That He might settle forever the issue of sin and give eternal life to those who believe that He has done so. Who on the principle of faith believe that Christ died for them, was buried, and He rose again. To this individual, God gives the gift of eternal life, washes away their sin, brings them into His presence as adult sons, accepts us in His beloved. Now that's the greater thing. Taking us from the depths of woe, from a condition where we're very much unlike God, away from God, enemies and so on, and God, through His grace and through the redemptive work on the Lord Jesus on the cross, has brought us into His presence and put us in an exalted position. And if God has done that, will He not do the lesser things? And Paul, as he writes here, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, is saying, yes, God is going to do the lesser things. God is going to accomplish His purpose and His program. Well, I still have those moments in my life when I'm just shocked. Sometimes almost numb. In the passage that we read in Isaiah 55, I want you to note that we read a term there, phrases, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways, and your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What are we reading here? There is that which we find throughout the Word of God, which has to do with the ways of God. And it appears as we're reading through the Scriptures, unless we understand the ways of God, we're going to have nothing but problems in our Christian experience, in our thought process, in our experiences in life. We must understand the ways of God. This is a growing experience. Israel, in Egypt, for 400 plus years, were there because of the ways of God. I doubt that they were fully aware of what was taking place. I think they realized that they had a promise that someday they would be delivered. In the book of Genesis, chapter 15 and verse 16, after Abraham had had this tremendous experience with God, and we read, "Abraham believed in the Lord and it was imputed to him for righteousness." Then the covenant is taking place. And then God speaks to Abraham and he says, "Abraham, your seed will be in a land of foreigners for over 400 years. And the reason I'm going to do that is that the cup of iniquity in regards to the Amorites is not yet full." God is saying, "I am going to deal with the inhabitants of the land for over 400 years. In God's long suffering, he was going to attempt to woo from that land those who would respond and come to him. After that time, he said, I will put them, your seed, in the land." We're talking about the ways of God. Israel's ushered out of Egypt, and they're moving now into that area that will introduce them to the promised land. And they murmur, "Oh, we're so hungry. Oh, that we might have the food of Egypt. Oh, that we might have good water." Oh, how they tempted God. I wonder what we had done had we been there. And it seemed for Israel that God was always about 4 or 5 days late. Now, I'm thinking that some might not like that expression as I've used it, but others of you will say, "Oh, that's my experience." You know why? We don't understand the ways of God. We don't understand the experiential life that we're living in regards to the ways of God. Until finally, Israel, in the wilderness, the seed of Abraham, is told that they will not see the land. They'll not go into the land. Because of their failures in not wanting to just trust the Lord, because of confusion as to the ways of God, they were defeated and they died. Genesis 12, later part of the chapter, there's a famine in the land. Abraham is there. He has just received a great promise. "Of you, Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed. You will have a seed. It will be blessed. You and Sarah will have a seed." Well, there's a famine in the land. And Abraham has heard that there's plenty of food in Egypt. What does Abraham do? He says to Sarah, let's go to Egypt. When we get there, let's tell everyone that you're my sister, not that you're my wife. He said, if they find out you're my wife, they will want to slay me. So they go to the land. It becomes apparent that Sarah is a very beautiful woman. Pharaoh learns about it. He wants to bring her into his home. Now, could God, would God, have fed Abraham and Sarah in the land? Could he have? Would he have? Wow. What would you have done? What would you have done? They have been told that through them would come a seed through which all the nations of the world would be blessed. And they go into Egypt. And in Egypt, had it not been for the intervention of God in a dream and plagues, they were in a position where they might have set aside the program of God's redemption for mankind had Sarah been taken by Pharaoh as a wife. We're talking about the ways of God. John the Baptist, in prison. He's been imprisoned. As he's in prison, he apparently is hearing all that is taking place in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I can just see John. I can see John almost like a wild animal caged up, wanting to get out. Boy, does he want to get out. And there he is. Finally comes to the place where John sends some of his disciples to speak to the Lord Jesus. And as they come to the Lord Jesus, they say, John sent us here to ask you a question. Are you really the Christ? Are you really the sent one of God? I think here's what's happening. I think John is saying, Lord, get me out of here. Can I ever help you? You get me out of prison, and we can travel together. And think of the multitudes we can reach. But the ways of God are involved here. And then the Lord Jesus says, you go tell John, blessed is that individual who is not offended in me. Wow, what an answer. Blessed is that individual who is not offended in me. Do you think John doubted for a moment that Jesus was really the Messiah? He knew that. You think he doubted that the Lord Jesus was the Lamb of God? He knew that. But he did not understand the ways of God. And the ways of God may not be revealed to him. And then the disciples of John carry the message back to John. John the Baptist will be beheaded. John's ministry was over. And the Lord then says to the multitude, of those that have been born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. The ways of God. John was proclaiming the Lord Jesus as the Messiah. He had gone up and down the highways and byways of life, saying, this is he, the promised one. Going back to Isaiah chapter 40. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The King is here. In that ministry, as he meets the Lord, he does acknowledge him as the Lamb of God who will die. But John's ministry of the forerunner proclaiming Christ to be King, that was over. That was over. The Lord was going to introduce a new relationship. The Lord would introduce a new group, a body, that he would call his ecclesia, his church. And in the ways of God, John would die. Blessed is he that is not offended in me. Now, brethren, we have to be very careful that we don't find ourselves in that situation. We have to be very careful that we acknowledge our God is a large God who has a master program of which we are but a part. This is sometimes a very small part. And that God in the program overall is moving and working, and if things don't seem right for us, God knows about that, and our responsibility, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Let's read them. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, I'm sure that many of you are already quoting them. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, for he shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord with all of thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now it's true, sometimes our trust is really shaken. We're told, continue on. Continue to trust. Continue with patience to go on. Amos 3:3 says this. How shall two walk together unless they agree? Now this is so obvious, but it has to be said. Don't expect God to change. You understand that? Don't expect God to change. He's not going to change. Who has to change? We do. We do. How can two walk together unless they agree? We're speaking of human experience here. It is the Christian, he who has been cleansed by the blood of Christ and brought into the privilege of grace, who must submit, who must trust, who must allow him or herself to become involved in patience, because we must realize we're part of God's program and we're experiencing. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40, if you will. Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord, even though things are tough, yes. Even though there are things we cannot understand, yes. Yes. Back in December of last year, I was in contact with Brother Bob, and we began to work on a curriculum for Daily Vacation Bible School. We spent much time with the curriculum. We not only worked on the stories, the daily stories and the daily Bible study, but we did all the artwork for hours, colored pictures. We, together, and then with the staff, put together a new curriculum. I suppose now it could even be published, but we have a curriculum that worked on. We went to 5 major Bible colleges attempting to present the needs to college young people to help in the summer as summer staff to RBC. Wow, did we have the students that were interested? I don't remember exactly how many students I were in contact with, probably 75. And it came time for our teachers to arrive for training so we could carry on our Bible school. 4 came, 2 left, and we had 2 teachers to carry on a summer of Bible school throughout the state. I just didn't understand. Ellen and I went out. We taught Bible schools. Dan and Joan McEnroe, Ellen's sister, and her husband, who have been missionaries in Brazil for about 30 years, are now with us in central Wisconsin. They went out. And when the summer was over, the response was, the best Bible schools ever. The best Bible schools ever. But I want to tell you something. When we got into that first week, I was like shell-shocked. I couldn't believe what was happening. We had, I believe it was 4 Bible schools and no teachers. But God provided. God provided. And we had the Bible schools. Now what God is doing, what He was doing, is working to make me greater than my circumstances. And He's doing that for you. And He's doing that for you. Book of Hebrews chapter 1, the chapter 2 and verse 18, we read this. God is able. God is able. But are we willing just to commit to Him and trust in Him and acknowledge that He has ways that are far above our ways. That His ways are not our ways. His ways to us may be confusing. We're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We're to wait upon the Lord. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. God is able. This is the historical account of Abraham being called upon by God to take his son Isaac up to the mount and there to offer his son as a sacrifice. Now I want to say something here. This is almost illogical. This is almost irrational. God is saying to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take your son and offer him as a human sacrifice. Does this strike a note in your heart? Have you been there? Have you been there? This is illogical. This is irrational. Why me? And Abraham proceeds to take his son up to the mount. And when it comes time to lay the knife to his son's throat, God says, don't harm the lamb, the lad. Don't slay him. Notice verse 12. For now I know that thou fearest God. What? What? For now I know thou fearest God. Now God knows everything. But now I know thou fearest God. Did God know that Abraham loved him? Yes. Did God know that Abraham wanted to honor him? Yes. But what are we talking about here? What does this word know mean? We're talking about human experience, the ways of God. Know. Knowledge with experience. Knowledge with experience. Abraham, in his obedience to God, experientially now, in his life, is putting forth the great truth that he fears God. Knowledge and experience. Now I know that you love me. Now I know that you fear me. Could that be why we are going through some of these unexplained experiences? Could that be why we seem to be perplexed at times, not understanding that God is working in our lives, that he might say, now I know you fear me. What if that's the case, and I'm going through an experience, and I say I had enough? You think that ends it? Really, no. As a child of God, you think that ends it? Nope. You're going to go through it again. And again. And again. And again. Knowledge with experience. Think of that just for a moment. In regards to Paul's statement in the book of Philippians, that I might know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Knowledge with experience, a growing process. Growing in the knowledge of the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Yes, the God that we know as the Almighty Creator who's in charge, he has ways that are far above and beyond our comprehension. And our responsibility is to trust. Continue to go on no matter what the adversity. Stick-to-itiveness. Just keep going on. Even though I'm feeling depressed, keep going on. Even though I want to argue with God, just keep going on. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep committing it to him. And we may never have the answer. We may never have a solution. But God knows he's in charge. He has a program. He has a plan that he will indeed accomplish. And we may be just moving through an area there that's related to hundreds of others and movements that God knows all about. And we have to trust in him. I trust we know some in regards to the ways of God. A girl approaches Peter and says to Peter, Peter, or says, are you not one of those that were with this man who's going to be tried? Were you not with those? And he says, no, I was not. Now, do you think for a moment that Peter is saying at that time in his heart and in his life, I don't believe that that man is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God? No, I don't think Peter was doing that. I must admit, I don't think for a moment Peter lost faith in regards to who the person of Christ is. He knew that. But I think he got confused in regards to the ways of God. And God's program was that Christ should die. Peter didn't understand that. And so he denies. He's totally confused and he denies. And so we find ourselves in the same situations, the same people. We're like they. And God says to us, wait on the Lord. Trust in the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall produce that peace that is such a scarce commodity in today's body of believers, the church. That inward joy, contentment, He shall bring it to pass. For now I know thou fearest God. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Without comment, I'm going to read a few verses from Romans chapter 8, and then we'll close in prayer. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Shall God that justifieth? Who is he that commendeth? Shall Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we ask that through the ministry and work of Your Spirit, You might take of that which we have considered from Your word today and speak to our minds and to our hearts, that You might encourage us. We pray that if there are any among us who have not trusted in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they might realize that the Lord, that our God has done the greatest thing for them when He sent His Son into the world to die for them. They might realize their only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. They might believe in Him. We pray that Your Spirit will work in hearts. We also pray, Father, that You'll be with each one of us, that we might think about the ways of our God, that we might think about our relationship with You, and that we might find ourselves, as Amos states, walking with You in agreement as we submit to You. Teach us, Lord, each day to trust in You and to wait upon you. Teach us, Lord, to be patient and to just commit our lives to you. We do pray for one another that you might encourage us. We pray again for those who are going through difficult times, maybe not experiencing that experience they're going through. Help them, Lord, just to rely upon you, not to lean on their own understanding, but to commit all their ways unto you. We do pray that you'll bless, be with us as we go to our homes. We ask again, Lord, that you'll bless in all of our families. We pray, Lord, that we might together share in the glory and joy of our God. We pray your blessing upon us now as we'll continue, Lord, to be before you in a hymn, and then we'll be dismissed as we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.